Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Indianapolis. We've been counting this down since May of last year, and that's opening day again here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And we've got a great show packed for you today. 2 hours of nothing but breaking down the up-and-coming Indianapolis 500, the cars, the entries, the surprises, the rumors, a little fun along the way. Also joining us a little bit later on here is Mr. Phil Wilson from the Indianapolis Star. Going to be joining us and talking with us about this year's Indianapolis 500. My digits, 917-889-8516. Also standing by in the wings is Mr. Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner. I'm honored to have them both on the show with me at exactly the same time. And this is a special show. And we're going to break down. You know, this is really the excitement just really, really builds. And as I was doing the track reports this morning for some of our affiliate stations, I said this. I said rumors are flying and speeds are increasing, and Andretti is trying to get back to victory lane. Guys, I'm telling you what, it's starting to smell like Indy days have gone by. So I tell you what, we're going to break down everything that's happening here on Indy in May, and you just don't want to miss it. I'm just going to tell you what, if you're an IndyCar fan, this is the show for you. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network for your opening day coverage of the Balance.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest spectacle in racing.
We have trouble on pit road.
A huge crash on the track.
A win at Indy means so much more because it well and truly is racing immortality.
I'm sure other drivers that have won multiple championships would have handed, you know, a few of those back for an Indianapolis 500 win.
Once you win this race, your life has changed forever.
Indianapolis stays with you forever. This is
forever. Dario Franchitti takes the defensive line into one side.
Inside.
Dario Franchitti is going to win the 500, and all three times it's going to be under caution. All right, and welcome back to The Balance. It is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat right here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Joining me in the wings is the two foremost experts of anything, to include diet root beer, and Mr. Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, my partners in crime throughout the month of May. We've teamed up with them with IndianMay.com to bring you all of the action from right here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So, Cliff, Kenny, how we doing, guys?
We're doing pretty good, I guess.
You can't.
There we go.
We got, got everybody on now?
Well, I'm doing double duty this morning, so you might hear something strange in the background every once in a while.
Well, we don't. Do we want to know what the double duty is? Is it something you can share with
sure.
us? Or, okay.
I'm working at Shepherd's house, brother. What the, you know?
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe it might be something you didn't want us to know about. Okay.
No, so, we don't like it on the radio. You do, I don't.
Cliff, how was your week, sir?
Man, I tell you what, that's got to be the fastest week I've ever seen in my life. Very busy and just, I can't believe it's Saturday already, but a good Saturday at that.
Well, guys, I want to get into this Indianapolis talk here in just a moment, but because it is news and because it did happen, Kurt Busch tested here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway earlier this week. I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. And, you know, they're saying this is a beginning of a 14-month dialogue or process, if you will, to get them to run the double again. Let's talk about that a little bit. What were your thoughts about Kurt Busch testing here in an IndyCar? Obviously, we know that he's no stranger to an IndyCar open-wheel format, per se, because he did test with the Champ Series, if you remember that, a little while back. It appears, anyway, that the process and the wheels are moving and the things are in process to get Busch to run an IndyCar, a few IndyCar races, and one of those is the Daily Double. Cliff, thoughts?
Well, I tell you what, first of all, I think he's just trying out for a job because the things aren't going to work out in NASCAR with his attitude sometimes the way it goes. But, you know, I still don't see how they're going to do it. I mean, we still have to see a little bit of time change. I think they need to either start the Indy 500 a little earlier, or they're going to have to start the big one over in NASCAR, the 600, a little later for this to really happen. I mean, that's going to be a tough move. I would love to start seeing that happen again. I thought that was always kind of cool, but and when you're talking about 1,100 miles in one day, can you imagine how that would feel when you're done with all that?
Well, I tell you what, I couldn't drive 1,100 miles in one day on a normal speed. You know, my son lives in North Carolina, and it wasn't 1,100 miles, and it nearly killed me to drive that far, and it took me almost 16, 18 hours to drive to my son's house. I couldn't imagine it. Kenny, what are your thoughts? Kenny, are you there?
Hey, probably step out for a second.
Yeah, to step out for a second. We'll get him back here in just a second. We'll go back to him. Well, you know, I agree with you. Maybe he is doing a little bit of a job interviewing, but at the same time, I mean, it's. But can you imagine, Cliff, history wise, if anybody was ever able to put this together to win both races in the same day, what an historic moment that would be?
Oh, dude, I mean, you know, that's the cool thing, is it would be huge history. It would be amazing if that could happen. But, man, you know, just to say I was the first one, they will never, ever, ever take that away. And it could happen. And I really thought Tony Stewart might be that guy to do that. But, you know, there's so much variances in the races, especially when you're talking a 500-mile race and a 600-mile race. You know, you don't know what your car is going to do, and that kind of puts you at a disadvantage. But, man, I'm telling you what, that would be one hell of a thing to happen. Man, I can't even imagine how that would make one feel if you didn't collapse after you won the second race, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, we're talking with Cliff Tanner and Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talking. That is our special Indianapolis 500 opening day special. We got 2 hours dedicated to the Indianapolis 500 2013 happening in May 26th. The 97th running of the Indianapolis 500 mile race, rookie orientation today. We're standing by for Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, and we're going to break down a little bit more of these drivers. But when we look at the rookies, guys, anybody that stands out there for you this year that though Hay could make an impact. Every year we see a rookie do something. Maybe last year we thought Brian Clausen was going to be one of those. Maybe he'll still get a ride. Still trying to find out if that's actually going to come together. But you look at some of the rookies that are out there in the entries this year. Does anybody stand out to you as, hey, that's a rookie we got to keep an eye on?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you know, there's always a good chance that Allmendinger could win, you know, that race. But I would say probably the one rookie that stands out to me, I just lost his name, Tristan Vaudier. I think that kid, you know, he's been doing pretty decent. And he's going to be the one to watch when it comes to rookie.
Kenny, are you with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure am. Yeah.
All right. I don't want to interrupt your breakfast there either, sir. Rookies.
I'm here all the time, brother. We must have some bizarre connection problems because I've been talking away. So.
Oh, okay. I turned your mic off there for a minute because I thought you were gone. That's okay. We're with you, sir. We're not purposely excluding you from the conversation. But when you look at rookies this year in the entry list, of course they still have to qualify. But when you look at rookies that'll be out there this year trying to make a run for the Indianapolis 500, does any of them stick out to you?
Well, only Allmendinger, only because we know him a little bit. And he's got a little bit of open wheel experience. I don't think the rookies are going to have any trouble making the field because there's only 33 entries, isn't there? There's more come in since Thursday because I don't think that there is anymore.
Well, there's some TBAs. We don't know. Obviously, we look at maybe possibly Ed Carpenter. Pippa Mann's name's on the list, but I don't have her for a particular car, obviously, with DCR Racing. I'm sure she's going to make a run for it. 34 cars, I'm sure we'll have an entry of 34 cars. It's just we've got some TBAs as well. Cliff?
Yes. I don't know, man. You know, there's always seems to be one rookie that stands out in this race. And like I said, Vaudier is the guy to be looking for. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who qualifies and where they qualify. But we always know, you know, the teams to beat are going to be Canassi. They just love that racetrack. You know, we're finally getting away from all the road courses and we're going on a, you know, 2.5 mile track. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens and unfolds.
Well, you know, and also you've got the Buddy Lazier. I don't know exactly all the details, but I know they're going to be trying to put another Lotus in this year. And Kenny, I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, Lotus failed miserably last year. So if you were a car team owner, would Lotus be the team you want to put in? I guess it appears that Buddy Lazier is going to be jumping in on that car. But Lotus, again?
No, heck no. Are you kidding me? I'd rather get a tricycle and try and qualify with that. Lotus was so bad last year that unless they made some gargantuan changes, and it seems to me, I don't think they've run any IndyCar shows yet. None of the road courses, have they? I don't think so.
Not to my knowledge.
Unless Buddy Lazier is tremendously desperate for a motor, why on heaven's earth would you even bother? If I was Buddy Lazier and I had the racing pedigree I had, I'd tell them thanks, but no thanks, and I'd sniff around for somebody's second car after their first car got qualified. Wouldn't do it.
Cliff?
Well, you know, again, Lotus, he's right. You know, a tricycle would probably go a little bit faster, but the one thing I do kind of disagree with Kenny on is, you know, I would be a little embarrassed to drive it as well. But, you know, when a guy wins a race and he's been around Indy for a long time, I guess, you know, sometimes you're just desperate for a ride. And when you get into the, you know, the greatest spectacle in racing, as they have always called it, you know, I'd probably jump at the opportunity too. But then again, you know, as Kenny said, it would be kind of embarrassing at the same time. But if you can get a ride and get a start in there, at least you got in it.
Well, we're talking about Cliff Tanner and Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk, who've teamed up with us with IndianMay.com to bring us all the track reports and information out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Some names that are tossed around that, well, we talked about Brian Clausen, obviously an Indiana boy, won the USAC championship, got some money there, floated his way. Buddy Rice jumping in a Schmidt racing car. I tell you what, when you look at some team owners, Schmidt he's got some light series cars as well, Schmidt is just a fantastic owner, and I think any driver would love to drive for Schmidt Racing. And there's rumors that possibly Buddy Rice will come in there, maybe Jay Howard. As I said in the track report or affiliates earlier, rumors are definitely flying. Yeah. And one of those rumors, guys, is that Tony George and his Sonex team, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, might have an IndyCar activation this year as well. Well, we're joined now by Mr. Phil Harris. I'm sorry, Phil. Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. But I really do know who you are. I don't know who this Phil Harris guy is. But welcome back to the balance, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Got an opportunity to run into you out at the track yesterday, the day before opening day. Not much going on out there. I happened to see Sarah Fisher unloading her team there yesterday afternoon. Any thoughts as you walked around the track yesterday afternoon of what we're in store for today?
Well, I'm driving in right now. I got caught up behind a caravan of Corvette Stingrays on this opening day celebration of automobiles, and that meant a police escort on 465, and that meant, you know, being cops who won't let you go around the Corvette. So I'm kind of ticked off right now. I want to race these guys in my Beamer here. I probably would lose, but it is a celebration of automobiles today, and so. Even I guess the biggest question is the weather. It's overcast and rainy, and you wonder how much they'll get on the track, how much they'll do. I know going around Gasling Alley, before or after I saw you, I talked to a few people, and they're going to hope to push, you know, 230-mile-hour lap barrier this year, and that'd be kind of interesting if they get 230-mile-an-hour. Kind of expected because they keep bumping it back up each year with advances in technology, and you know, these guys who work on the cars, they keep doing it better and better every year. But that's the mark to look at, I think, you know, for this year in practice, or at least for qualifying.
We're talking to Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. I tell you what, I know your buddy Kurt out there might disagree with me, but you're the foremost expert out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this year. I tell you what, Phil, the fact is that I apparently chose the wrong profession because newspaper reporters, beat reporters, a salary is obviously much, much deeper than us radio guys, because I get to drive my Trailblazer in while you drive your Beamer in.
Well, that was years of savings and borrowing against my 401k with an old man that was on his deathbed who lamented not having the car that he wanted of his dreams, and I just made up my mind at the time that I was going to shoot big and go well beyond my means for a vehicle that, you know, at the time everybody thought I was crazy, and here, so many odd years later, I'm still driving her. So, you know, I love BMWs, and I'm just pulling into my numbered spot here, and I'm looking across the lot, and I'm seeing all these old cars. There's a Packard, there's a Cadillac, whatever. What is that? Oh my goodness! There's looks like a Model T over there, you know, in that auxiliary parking area, where they. I guess they have a real special VIP pass. They've got all these old cars. It's really, really cool. I everywhere you look, it's old cars. So I think people, if they come out, they have the rain gear and they don't get too wet, they might enjoy seeing, you know, some of these. Although some of these babies are real old and they're convertibles and the top's down, and I'd worry about them getting wet, to be honest.
Well, we're talking with Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, and it is a celebration of automobiles, and I saw a lot of them getting set up there yesterday, and today I'll be out there right after the show. It's an incredible sight to see, especially if you like old cars and some of the old pace cars. And Kenny and Cliff from Radio Speed Talk is joining us. So, guys, do you have anything for Phil Wilson real quickly about anything regarding the Indianapolis 500?
Well, what's the excitement level down there this year? It seems like it's a little better than it has been in the past.
Well, I just pulled in, and I know a lot of people were arguing about it during the week, in terms of, you saw comments on the internet, you saw some Twitter feedback, even yesterday when I posted a few pictures. You get a genuine sense that the longer they've gone with the changes in the new era of racing, more drivers, more driver car combinations can win, and that makes it more exciting. If you think to the past, where you look at 33 cars and you realistically say 6 or 8, maybe 9, 10, and if you could say half the field this year is be capable of winning, that'd be kind of cool. And I don't know if we go that far, because even if the cars are very, very close together, I was explaining to my wife yesterday at dinner, I said, there are lessons that need to be learned here, and certain people don't seem to learn those lessons. Some never, and some it takes 2 or 3 times of visiting the school of hard knocks before they realize how you have to be patient in this race. And how you have to take care of your stuff, your car, and some guys don't get that. Some drivers, they just insist they have to pass in a turn around lap traffic, and they end up in the wall, because they got the marbles. And you do that 2 or 3 times, Graham Rahal, and you have to learn the hard way. Graham has learned. Well, and I remember this because I've needled Graham about this, because I thought he could do well here, and he did finish third. Was it 2 years ago, last year? He finished third. He's done well now, but it took him a couple times of being, ridiculous, and his dad probably, shaking his head at his son. But there are a lot of drivers that never quite get it, and they can't stay patient for the amount of time it takes to do well at this race. And that's the key. So we could say hopefully half the field could win. Maybe, Takuma Sato obviously is a name to think about now. Foyt actually has a car in this race that might be a dog in the fight, so to speak, really. I mean, we haven't said that in a long time. But you still look at the usual suspects. It's Andretti's world right now. And Dario, you never count him out, even though he's off to a rough start, having won 3 times now. And I'm wondering if we'll see the captain and Roger Penske. I wonder if they'll show up here and make some noise, because we haven't heard from them in a few years.
Kenny, do you have anything for Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star?
Yeah, Phil, two-part question, actually. Do you have any personal favorites that you're kind of pulling for, but you can only say it on the radio and not put it in print? And how about a dark horse? Do you see any particular dark horses? And I realize this is kind of early. They haven't really done a whole lot on the track yet, but just from your perspective and what you've seen so far.
No, that's a good question, because I think if you come here, every year like I have for, 18 years is my 19th 500, I think, you settle into a routine, and there are guys that are drivers you enjoy talking to, and you'd like to see them do well. I thought Joseph Newgarden had a real good chance to win at Brazil if Sato isn't, redefining the term blocking. 5 laps to go. I mean, that was, and I saw Joseph yesterday up in the food room, up in the cafeteria, and I asked him if he'd given Sato a hard time about it. He says, I didn't need to. Arabella's in the paddock been doing it. So I like Joseph Newgarden. I remember writing about him when he came up through Firestone Indy Lights, and really good kid, and boy, that would mean something to Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing if they could, have a great finish from him. I'm if I had favorites are guys that I like. I think James Hinchcliffe is a personality that the guys on IndyCar series desperately needs. And I do mean that. I mean, they are devoid of overwhelming or captivating personalities. They think they're not, but they are. They really are. I mean, when push comes to shove and you meet a guy, you say, wow, man, that guy's great, or that driver was exciting, or, boy, I really like him. Well, Hinchcliffe is it. The mayor of Hinchtown should rule this place. He should set up shop. He should have his own little stand somewhere and have 24/7 mayor of Hinchtown associates, cabinet members, you know, building his army. You know, and believe me, I'm not a big Andretti guy. I mean, Michael's a wine here. Marco's been a baby at times. But Hinchcliffe has done something in the GoDaddy car that, gee, the previous driver didn't do, and that's win a couple of races. So I kind of like Hinch, and I'm off the Penske train. I used to keep picking Elio to win his fourth because I thought he was destined to join the four-time club. I'm not so sure about that. But Dark Horse is definitely, I think Sato is probably in there. I'm kind of curious what Ed Carpenter's going to end up doing. I saw they moved his garage yesterday to a different spot. Maybe that'll give him some good luck. It's hard not to root for Ed. You know, Butler, grad, grew up here. He'll have the dogs out here, the Bulldogs, and I'm sure Brad Stevens will come out and visit at some point. I know Fuzzy Diller's got his vodka. He's got a special track bottle that's going to be unveiled sometime later this week. And I should lay down the gauntlet and say, unless I'm getting a free sample or a free bottle, I'm not coming. But, you know, so there's enough names here. You know, Buddy Lazier comes out of mothballs and he's going to run. So you never count a former winner, even if it's during the Astros years. Maybe he'll be your dark horse. But I'm looking forward to getting in the paddock here a little bit, Gasoline Alley, and getting reacquainted with some old friends. And we'll see how it shakes out.
We're talking to Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. Him and Kirk Cavan team up out there every year to bring you the best coverage with the Indianapolis Star and IndyStar.com. And really, they have all the ins and outs. And here's going back to Sato's block out in Brazil. And I want to get your thoughts on this real quick, Phil. I know we have you just for a limited amount of time. But I heard Kevin Lee on another show on another network talk about that maybe that the not calling the block or calling of the block, either which way you look at it, could be for the good of the show. So let me ask you this. Had they called blocking, would that have not been good for the show? Or by them not calling blocking, was it for the good of the show?
No, I like Kevin. He's a good guy, and I respectfully disagree. Sato blatantly blocked three times, and he didn't just do it to Newgarden. He blocked Hinch. He blocked, trying to think who else was up in there, but he did it at least three times, and it was terrible. It was egregious. It was as bad a blocking as you could see. You know, the Newgarden one, that I remember distinctly was what, four or five laps to go. Newgarden went off the screen. We're watching on TV. I'm not in Brazil. And you see his car whip across the screen, off the screen, and Sato leaves the screen too to block him. I mean, it was so wide to one side. And I just, you know, I know that in the past, guys have been furious at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for getting called for blocking when they didn't think they did. I know Graham Grahall blocked Danny Weldon the one year down to the grass. Graham tried to act like he didn't. He did. And Danny was, you know, adamant that he did. And Graham got punished for it. Townsend Bell got called for blocking once. He argued that it wasn't fair. But Brian Barnhart was running the show then, and he called blocking. He called blocking pretty tight here. And I think you have to. I really do. You know, they can say that Dario didn't give Takuma a lot of room last year at the end of the 500, but, you know, Takuma tried to force his way up underneath. I wouldn't say it's blocking right there. I'm saying, okay, you want to take that hard inside groove and hope the car holds, you go right ahead. It's a gutsy move. I think most people that love racing admired Sato for trying it. That's a heck of a lot different than, you know, trying to hang on to a road course race with your tires worn to hell, and you're really trying to just, you know, keep people from racing with you. I thought it was entertaining for the television, entertaining for the show, but Kevin also works for broadcasts and for the, you know, series broadcasts, I think, and so I think he's compromised by trying to say what's positive. My way of racing 18 500s here, growing up this track as a kid, you block, you get punished. I don't care who you are, and I hope they don't forget that this month.
Well, absolutely, and I agree with you on that with Kevin. Obviously, the better question is, who doesn't Kevin work for?
He's,
yeah, you know, between the Pacers and everywhere. But you know what? He's got a good gig going for him. There's so much I want to talk with you about, but we just have kind of ran out of time, obviously, about the lights and the road course and so forth. But I'm going to leave the final question to my partners in crime over at Radio Speed Talk. Cliff or Kenny, I'll give you guys the final question to Phil Wilson of Indianapolis Star.
Well, Phil, I got to ask you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Cliff. I got breakfast in front of me. Go right ahead.
I just have a question. In every other racing venue, you can block. And I understand if you have rules, and I agree with his Sato was definitely blocked at Newgarden and Inchcliffe. I mean, it was very blatant. But why do you think IRL, and I know part of it may be safety, why don't they let them block? I mean, you know, when a guy wants to win a race, the guy wants to win a race.
Why don't they let them block? Because it's boring. It's NASCAR. It really slows the show down. Don't get me wrong. I hear what you're saying. It makes it more exciting. You know, you need the Hinchcliffe to pull off a move like you did, the up and under. But it also helps that Sato's tires are shot and he had to lock up the brakes damn near to get through that turn to give Hinchcliffe the inside move. But I think that's the biggest problem. People are worried about the racing becoming a parade and no passing, and that's always been a knock on the series, especially in other places. Brazil surprised me in that it was probably one of the more entertaining road course races I've ever seen, and I never usually say those words together. Not that I'm a big expert, but my bias towards the 500 and loving this race is well known, and it comes through pretty loud and clear. I you could put all the other races together in a bag. I wouldn't care. I could care less because I've always loved the 500. I've always thought the 500 was special. I always thought it required and demanded something more. If you won this race, it did mean more than winning even a series championship. And I just can't get excited about 100-mile-an-hour racing on through streets of cities and where there's only one or two places you can pass because
Amen,
they're not
brother.
Going. Yeah, and they're blocking and all that. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, you know, they let it go most places. They let it go in Brazil. So, you know, maybe that's the new era and maybe that's something we'll get used to. But hopefully here at Indy they still call it the way it's always been called and, you know, they want guys to get side by side and let the fastest car win.
We're joined by Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. Phil, I know you got to get going here, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us this morning. I look forward to following you and your partner out there with the Indianapolis Star, Kurt Cavan. Obviously, write some of the best articles when it comes to Indianapolis 500 every year and IndyCar in general. But really appreciate the time you've taken for us. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces? I hear you're kind of taking a spin on some radio stuff with Indiana Talks now as well.
Oh, I've been doing a little bit of everything. So yeah. I can be found on Twitter at PWilson24. You can email me at philip@indystar.com. My blog Bouncing Off Phil B will bounce back and forth between Colts and racing here for the next couple weeks probably, but do a lot of racing blogs here in the next couple weeks on whatever I run into, and that's at indystar.com.
And now, are you also on Indiana Talks?
I am. Gary Schneider's going to have me on from time to time. We've done a podcast already. I'm not sure when we're doing the next one, but we're trying to figure out a way to to do that regularly, maybe during the cold season, to see if we can build an audience. So, try and give the folks what they like, or if they enjoy hearing whatever I say, and that's always a challenge, trying to sound interesting, I think. But if I can give them something they like, I'll keep doing it.
Well, that's the good thing about being a newspaper reporter. You can change your words from time to time. With radio, once you say it, it's said, and it's out there. We're also on Indiana Talks every Saturday from 3 to 5, as well as our Hot Talk show on Thursdays from 9 to 10 over Indiana Talks. Mr. Phil Wilson, greatly appreciate it, sir. I'm sure I'll see you around the track throughout the month.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Phil Wilson. Indianapolis Star. Always a pleasure to have him on. And I tell you what, Cliff Kinney, he's one of those reporters, and what I call old school reporters, that really just kind of tell the story how the story is. And he does the same thing when he's on the radio here with us. And that's one reason why I enjoy having him as a guest. He doesn't pull back any punches. He gives you his opinion and tells you the news the way he sees it. And in my opinion, I think that says a lot. Well, Mr. Cliff, Mr. Kinney, guys, the fun is just beginning. We're going to take a break. We're going to let Kinney golf down his breakfast there. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, guys, we're going to break down all the entries and all the things going on inside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, radiospeedtalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at radiospeedtalk.com.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update. Brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
my minions, welcome back to the balance. We're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is opening day. We've got the rest of the show dedicated to the Indianapolis 500 2013. Obviously, we've got a big list, 34 cars that have made the entry. Now, that one, they've got to qualify. That's a big thing, and that will happen next weekend. Joining us is my partners in crime throughout the month of May, the guys from Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner. Kenny, how was your breakfast?
Well, it was great. How was your breakfast?
I haven't even ate breakfast yet. I'm waiting for that big spread out at the media center today.
We're going to have ribs for breakfast, brother.
It doesn't get too exciting out there at the media center. I'm joking about that. They do feed you well out there at Indianapolis. I will say that. But I'll tell you what. With Indianapolis, it's like you get up there, you got a certain time frame in which to get the food they serve. What I like about being up there in Michigan, and we'll be up there with you guys this year, I think, is they have that buffet out all day long. So you can eat all day long. But one thing about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they have the best fried chicken and biscuits they have that every year. It's either that or cheeseburger or corn on the cob or whatever. Have you guys ever ate up there?
Yes.
Good meal?
No,
good eats?
No. I'm not big enough pig shot like you, Tom. I don't get to eat it in here.
In most cases, if you get access to the media center, they let you go ahead and eat there. It's been my experience there, so... All right, guys, we're joined with you guys throughout the entire month of May. I want to talk with you guys a little bit about the month of May and in Indianapolis 500. I know you guys are both race fans, and maybe more in NASCAR or maybe more in the short track types as well. But there's something special about Indianapolis and being from Indiana and growing up in Indiana and just knowing that in your backyard – even literally or metaphorically, the Indianapolis 500, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is an awesome, spectacular event. So I guess I want to get you guys' thoughts and memories or maybe traditions that you guys have had or your favorite race over the years. What are some of the things that you remember growing up here in Indiana with in the background or the foreground, if you will, of the Indianapolis 500? Cliff?
Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, I have a lot of great fond memories. The problem is I quit following it when they had to split for a while, and I've come back and grown to love it. But, you know, I remember I had a neighbor, and you know, this was way before the Indianapolis 500 was even shown live. So we would actually, after the block, would get together at one family's house, and we'd listen to the race. And we actually kept charts on who was winning after 10 or 50 laps. Or, you know, it always gave me a great feeling when you heard Jim Neighbors sing back home in Indiana. You know, it just gives you them chills, and then hearing the roar of the engines. And actually finally getting down there and watching one of these races, I mean, it's just, I can't describe it. It's just one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Kenny, what about you?
Well, we were always racing all the time. My family and I grew up. My dad started racing in the 40s and stuff, and we raced everything with fenders. And the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, honestly, was I don't want to say the word taboo, but we just didn't care for the longest time because we were too busy racing somewhere locally or somewhere regionally on Memorial Day weekends. We just didn't have time to follow the thing. When I got a little older, I had a chance to actually go to the Speedway probably 25, 30 years ago. And I was absolutely, when we drove under the tunnel and popped up there in front of the museum, I almost literally froze and went, oh, wow, this is all that everybody says it is. This is super cool. So I've kind of started watching it then, and I don't have any real big fond memories. Obviously, oddly enough, the one I liked the best, it was on TV when I saw Ari Leyendyke flip somebody off for blocking him when he was leading the race. And it's if you're a baseball fan, it's like walking on a field or Wrigley Field during warm-ups. If you're a football fan, it's like being at the Super Bowl right after the the game is over with and somebody's celebrating. There's something about the aura. There's something about the place. There's something about the echoes. Something. The museum is cool, and it's constantly rotating things around and stuff. And I'm more enamored, personally, oddly enough, with the facility than I am the race itself. I mean, the race is cool, and I've yet to experience the start of 33 cars roaring down the front stretch with all the sound echoing off all those aluminum bleachers. That's one of the few things on my bucket list I probably can fulfill. But if, as a fan, you've never been there, even if the place is empty, maybe it's some sort of event that's going on there, you got to go at least once, and the place will absolutely hook you. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you what, and since even though I feel like an old man, I don't remember when it opened up in 1909. But I tell you what, though, since it opened up in 1909, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway really has been the epicenter of motorsports on four wheels or two wheels, for that matter. Nearly all the legends of worldwide racing have competed on the speedways. Well, we call it hollow ground, if you will. And I was out there yesterday, and Michelle and I were out there yesterday, or Michelle Jones, our producer, and we were walking around the track, and that's exactly what we said. This is hollow ground. And you look at names like Foyt and Andretti and Unser, Mears, Gordon, Earnhardt, Schumacher, Rossi. You know, legends have been born at the Brickyard for more than 100 years. And it is something special to go to, and every year. And then you look at the traditions. You know, we played a little bit of a soundbite going into the break there, Back Home in Indiana, by Jim Nabors. And Jim Nabors, by the way, will be back here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this year. I believe that is the fact, and he'll be here singing Back Home in Indiana. So you look at traditions like that, and you look at their love and respect for the military, and there's just something special on race day seeing all of those hundreds of troops come in formation out there in front of the pit area there in the opening ceremonies, and the balloons, and Florence Henderson singing God Bless America. And, you know, the rusty old voice, Hallman voice of gentlemen, start your engines. And then, you know, the old days, of course, obviously Tom Carney's passed on, but I think many, many people who have been to the track over the years, and I know Dave Clabro, obviously of local TV here, WTHR 13, has stepped in there and has did a remarkable job, and Tom Carney handpicked him over the years and really mentored him to do that. But, you know, there was just something about, and coming around turn number one at a record speed of two, you know, whatever it was, and we have a record. Do you guys remember Tom Carney and his just very distinct voice at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Sure do.
New track record. Sure we do. Everybody does.
It's a new track record. Absolutely. So those are all just great, fun things. And, you know, Michelle Jones, our producer, she is just a diehard IndyCar fan. And it's just a lot of history and tradition behind it. We were talking last night how she has every single program pretty much since she's been alive. And she just recently had a birthday. I won't give out her age, but it's a lot. I'm just kidding. It's not a lot. But she,
a lot younger than us, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you what, the memorabilia of the Indianapolis 500 that she has is just incredible. Actually, I think she had it since 1960, actually. She has every program since 1960. So, you know, there you go. And so it's things like that make the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it's not just another race. It's the Indianapolis 500. And we're here, guys. It's opening day, May 26, 2013. Well, it's time to get down to business. It is time to look at the cars for this year's race. We're going to talk about some of the entries. Obviously, you look at some teams have more than one car in the entry list. You know, when you pull that up, you'll see like maybe number one car, Ryan Hunter-Reay, 1T, Ryan Hunter-Reay, obviously having more than one car. So I'm going to kind of go through these guys and really in no particular order. other than just on the entry list that we have here. And I want you guys just to feel free to chime in on anything that you want about these teams. Well, I want to go try to get through all 34 teams here, if we can, all 34 drivers, if we can at all, and kind of talk about how you think that maybe they'll perform. And certainly, you know, we don't have to get into a big, long discussion about each of these drivers, but some of these certainly warrant some good discussions. And you heard Phil talk about the four-time Winners Club. That's a very elite club. And we got two contenders that could possibly do that, Castor Nevis and Franchitti this year. You look at maybe we'll see a first-time winner, and it's very well possibility that Hinchcliffe. You know, and Phil was right about that. What a personable person he is, and it's no secret he's one of my favorites. Really enjoy talking with him, and he'll just spend some time talking with you as well. So let's start with Ryan Hunter Ray. He's in the number one car, but he's also doing very well in the point standings as well. Ryan Hunter Ray, obviously bred to race, and comes from good stock, as they say. So, Cliff, Kenny, Ryan Hunter Ray in the DHL car, obviously coming out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Well, you definitely got to put him in as a favorite. I mean, he's the defending champion. You know, he's been pretty good on the road courses so far this year. And, you know, it's Andretti, man. I mean, you know, they've always got good cars, but, you know, the Andretti luck, man, that he's going to have to overcome that more than anything.
Are you there, Kenny? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kenny.
No, I wasn't sure everybody was done. He's an American. He's driving a Chevrolet. He's driving for one of the best racing families in the country. And, you know, he's got to be one of your favorites. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I like Ryan Hunter Ray. We've talked about it here on the show a few times when it comes to IndyCar, especially when in the start of the season started. And we need some youth. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, hey, it would be cool to see the Buddy Rices or, you know, the Laziers or, you know, another Franchitti. It would be cool to see that. It would be cool to see TK win his very first race. But it's just something about the youth that is in Indy this year and have really been developing. And that goes back to what I've always said, that the Indy Lights Series – is a true example of what a developmental league should be. And coming up from the Mazda series and the USAC series and how they all feed in to the Indy Lights series. And it really is a developmental league. And you look at, you know, you look at a few years back at the Indy Lights series, and those drivers are now making their presence inside of IndyCar, Newgarden, Hinchcliffe, and Pippa Mann. So those are all great examples of why I think the Indy Lights series is a true developmental league. We move on down the list. And guys, this is either a fun person to talk about. We call him a rookie, but he's not really a rookie. The fact that he's even riding in the Indianapolis 500 totally amazes me, and maybe this is what we want to get into a little bit of a conversation with, A.J. Allmendinger. And obviously with Team Penske, Penske saw something in him, saw that, hey, you deserve a second chance, and I'm all about, and I know, Kenny, you believe giving everybody a second chance, but maybe it was just a little too soon. A.J. Allmendinger, Cliff, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, it's not too soon. I will tell you, you know, you can't rule him out, but you've seen him already a couple of times this year. He's having a little bit of issue with some timing and getting things down. It's going to take some time, dude. Give the man a break. And, yes, he deserves a second chance. And, you know, I think he'll do well, but I don't think he's going to win it. Give him another year. If he gets into that full time, he's going to be a dude to be reckoned with. There's no doubt about it.
He needs to come clean with his drug thing. I'd like to hear that out of his mouth. That'll become a fan a little bit more. You know, you don't get caught on a one-time pop like that. We know what he took. And the pharmacist in my family tells me that he had to take more than one for that test to get that hot that quick. So he's still got a learning curve. You know, these cars are different than what he was when he was in there, what, back in 2006. And it's going to take him a while. You know, he'll be a mid-packer. I hope he does okay. You know, but I don't see him being a factor in the race this year.
Well, and I guess I'm with you on that, Kenny. he does need to come clean. And we had your family member on the show here and talk about, you know, the different things that he tested positive for. I guess where I'm saying, maybe it's not too soon, and maybe you can look at it both ways. But my thing is, if there's a drug problem, we look at what happened with Jeremy Mayfield. And I know that's been a few years ago, but that's kind of where, you know, you look at NASCAR and other racing series, but NASCAR kind of, that's kind of where things started, and that's where they begin to test more frequently and stuff after Jeremy Mayfield. But they gave him break after break after break after break. And I hope A.J. Allmendinger is the exception to the rule, and maybe – you know, he's learned his lesson. Bottom line is, don't take anything unless you know clearly what it is. And if I was in their positions, I wouldn't even take so much as a Tylenol without asking somebody professionally in the medical staff to give me a written waiver saying it's okay to take Tylenol. That's just my thought. So moving on.
Okay.
Tom,
you mind if I make a comment on what you
just
said?
Sure, go ahead. Absolutely.
First of all, you cannot compare A.J. Allmendinger to Jeremy Mayfield. I mean, Jeremy Mayfield was doing illegal drugs and actually selling them, as it turns out. Yes, I agree he shouldn't have been taking that stuff, but I guarantee you, since he's come back into NASCAR, they've been testing him. I don't think he's got a drug problem. All he took was a supplement that was against NASCAR rules. That's the bottom line.
Right, and certainly what I meant by the parallel was just comparative statements, meaning that they gave him chance after chance after chance. I understand that he was doing, you know, meth and other things. I realized that, and I certainly wasn't trying to imply that Allmendinger was a in the same type of drug addict as Jeremy Mayfield. Only the point out was that they continue to give him chance after chance. I'm just saying, by point of comparison, I hope that A.J. Allmendinger isn't getting a chance too soon to
find out
later on. You see what I'm saying? That's all.
Agreed.
I'm not.
Agreed.
All right, moving on. Helio Castroneves. We'll just call him Helio. Helio Castroneves. I like him. Very personable, fun guy. And certainly been on Dancing with the Stars, a track favorite. All the women love him. Has an opportunity to be a four-timer, but we heard Phil say, you know, that's just a daydream. That's never going to happen. So, Castroneves, will he join the four-time Winners Club? Or just really, what are your thoughts on him in the 2013 Indianapolis 500?
Well,
he's got as good a chance as anybody. Go ahead, Cliff.
Oh, sorry, Kay. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I did. That was it.
Oh, okay.
He's got as good a chance as anybody. I mean, he's a three-time winner. He knows how to get it done.
Yeah, you know, I kind of disagree with Bill a little bit on that, too. I think we are going to see another four-time winner. And Helio has to do all that extra stuff because, you know, he's got to pay his back taxes and all that, stay out of jail. But that was supposed to be funny, but that didn't work out. Anyway, what's that?
It was funny.
But, yeah, he's got an opportunity to do it, and I think he will eventually do it. Will it be this year? I mean, it's hard to say, man. I mean, there's so many variances. I mean, you know, let's talk about it. I mean, you know, Sato was a hop, skip, and a jump from overtaking Frank Keady, keeping him from his third last year. So, you know, it feels right in the fact that it is going to be more competitive. I think we will see another four-time winner. I don't know when or how or who, but it's going to happen.
Well, and you know, that goes back to, I just want to get one more jab in on our bad boys of racing. I wouldn't put Helio in the bad boys of racing. The thing is, if you make that kind of money, I know maybe he's not an American citizen. You know, I get that, but he lives in Miami. He lives a very, very good life. He's very, very wealthy. I don't know what part of, hey, I hire people to take care of my finances, does common sense escape your mind and say, don't pay my taxes? I don't know where that thinking came from. Why, if you have people and you make that kind of money, why not pay your taxes? But apparently he's got through it all, and it's all behind him now. J.R. Hillebrand, I like this guy. One, because he drives a National Guard car. And two, he's just got a lot of grit and determination. And he's had some disappointments of his own here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, some huge ones a couple years back. So we look at J.R. Hillebrand driving the number four car in the Izod IndyCar Series, the National Guard with Panther Racing. Like Panther Racing a lot, and I think they've shown that they could do well with that Chevy engine, and they certainly always do well out there at Indianapolis. So J.R. Hillebrand, Cliff.
Well, again, you know, I mean, I'm still not sure what he did. I mean, he was 2 years ago had an opportunity to win that, came around on a lap car and smacked him when he was just a hop, skip, and a jump from the finish line. And, you know, that's a rookie mistake, you know. But the kid's got some talent, but sometimes I think he has issues with being smart about racing. You know, you talk about patience. It seems to me this kid doesn't have it, but as the years go on, he'll find it. But he could be a force to be reckoned with. But this year, I don't know. We're going to have to wait to see. You know, he's a hard one to read until I watch half the race and see where he's at.
Kenny?
Well, Panther Racing always seems to have a leg up at Indy on some people. So they're certainly not the Penske's or the Andretti's, but they do a very good job there. And that's a name I'd like to see win the race. I always like to see somebody who hasn't won it before win it. I mean, even if your name's Marco Andretti or some of these other guys, Townsend Bell or Connor Daly, some of those guys, anybody who hasn't won before, I'll pull for.
And I agree with you. And he had – what a disappointing loss that he had just a few years ago. So I'm rooting for J.R. Hillebrand. I've gotten an opportunity to – and they're based here in Indianapolis, and I'm friends with a few guys on the pit crew there that are on my Facebook, and we chat back and forth. And they feel like they've got a good car. I can never get them to come on the show. I don't know. These pit guys, they're really cool guys, and I've got a few of them I talk to on a regular basis. And I saw one of the pit guys with Sarah Fisher Racing, and talked with him yesterday, and they feel very good about the car that they have, and was kind of disappointed with what happened out there in Brazil. Now, that's off the record. They're not going to come on the show and tell me stuff like that. I think somewhere in their contract, if you want a paycheck, you don't ever talk to media. Give them the same answers, you know. But they're fun people, and I do have a lot of people that I like there and know a lot of people personally there on the J.R. Hillebrand team, and they're based here in Indianapolis. So I root for them. E.J. Vizio from Venezuela. He's not won any. I think he's sitting at 80 points, and he's only had four starts. We don't really have a lot to look at him in this Chevy and Team Venezuela, another Andretti Autosport team. We don't really have a lot to gauge. I don't know that we have a huge gauge factor on this, and this just might be one of those drivers, guys, that we wait and see how it pans out for him. Cliff?
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a guy that, you know, at times he shows some promise, and times he just, you know, I think he just goes out for the ride. I mean, and I'm sure that's not what his intentions are. But when you're backed up by Andretti Autosport, you got a good car. You just have to learn how to use it. And, again, it comes down to a patience game and being smart. And, you know, he's got a lot to prove, but, you know, you never know. But I think he's going to be, you know, the back of the middle pack. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a force whatsoever in this one.
Kenny?
E.J. Vizio's been there a few times. He's got some experience at the place. I agree with Cliff. I think he's going to be a mid-packer, but he could be one of those guys that just pop up and surprise you. You never know. Today's going to be a nice chilly day, cold air, a lot of horsepower. And if you got a little bit of experience around the joint, it doesn't hurt. So, keep an eye on him. You know, I agree with Cliff. I don't think he's going to be a factor, but he can surprise a few people.
And let's talk about a little bit about that track temperature today. It's not going to be a hot day out here in Indianapolis. The track is going to be very, very cool. First day of practice. And I know it's just practice, but let's face it. Behind the scenes, these pit guys, these pit crews, especially the crew chiefs, they're developing a strategy for next weekend. And as much time as they have on the track, the better. And if we have some rain, that's going to make it even more worse. But how much of a factor, Kenny, this might be more of your question, but how much of a factor, Kenny, is the track temperature on day one practice? Is track temperature that big of a thing, or is that just a kind of a non-issue at the moment?
Well, it's an issue for you and me to talk about, but it's a non-issue for racers unless the track temperature ends up being the same next Saturday as it is this Saturday. It does help with your notes and knowing how the car reacts, say if the track temperature is 70 as opposed to 90. So it helps build up your notebook in case you run into the same conditions with the same car and the same chassis and the same setup and the same tires and the same everything. But probably not a lot. The best thing this weekend is guys get seat time, get comfortable with the speeds, get comfortable with various horsepowers and boosts and the push to pass and how the car feels with smacking the button and things of that nature. But I don't think it's going to really be a big deal one way or another this weekend. This weekend is really get out and shake down the cars and make sure you still remember how to turn left and go 220 mile an hour.
Well, I wish I could remember how to go 220 miles an hour. Cliff, do you have any thoughts on track temperature or anything like that?
Well, track temperature, like Kenny said, I mean, you know, those guys are professionals down there, and it's something, you know, that talking heads like us can talk about. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, they're trying to get their guys out there to get a feel for the track for some of the rookies being their first time out, and also, you know, these guys run around, and Kenny's right. You know, they're going to get that strategy down for next week, and I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor either.
We're talking with Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, your fearless host. Guys, we're rounding into the second half of our opening day coverage of the Indianapolis 500. It is opening day. We're out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway today all day long. We'll be right back right after this.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, radiospeedtalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianBay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pits, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update. Brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianBay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Gentlemen, welcome to the greatest spectacle in racing.
We have trouble on pit road.
A huge crash on the track. Is
a win at Indy means so much more because it well and truly is racing immortality.
I'm sure other drivers that have won multiple championships would have handed, you know, a few of those back for an Indianapolis 500 win.
Once you win this race, your life has changed forever.
Indianapolis stays with you forever. This is
forever. Dario Franchitti takes the defensive line into one side.
Inside.
Dario Franchitti's going to win the 500, and all three times it's going to be under caution. Welcome back. Welcome back, my minions. My name is Tom Marquess, El Presidente. We're out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway all day long today. It is opening day for the Indianapolis 500 coming up on May 26, 2013. Joining us is my partners in crime, Mr. Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. And guys, you know, I want to give you guys all the love on this show as I can. And I will tell you that I was just in too much of a hurry to push buttons. So I'll make that spot up to you next time. I know you're probably hearing this. What the WTF? Come on, meet me out there behind the – I'm going to – I just wanted to let you know that, hey, I will step up to the plate and say that I got button happy and trying to move on to the next spot there. So I will make that up to you. Hey, guy, I wanted to talk with you. You know, you heard there on the soundbite of just some highlights of wins and thrills of Indianapolis 500 soundbites. You heard there, and it made me think of a question that I hadn't really thought about since last year. But Dario Franchitti wins, again, under caution. A race like Indianapolis 500, guys, and maybe this is just one man's opinion, everybody's entitled to it, I don't think a race like the Indianapolis 500 should ever be won under caution. Cliff?
I don't think any race should be won under caution. I understand why it has to be done. That's why you saw NASCAR go to the green light checker, you know, three times. On the third attempt, you know, they call it under caution. And I understand that, but, you know, you can't control what guys are going to do when you're racing, especially when you're getting down to the end. But I agree. I think Indianapolis or, you know, the IZOD series, IndyCar series, should seriously look at possibly going overtime with some of their racing, too.
Kenny, do you have any thoughts or opinions on that?
Yep. Doesn't matter to me one little bitty bit. As long as I know what the rules are and I'm positioning myself where I need to be. If I got a chance to win the race and I need to have my fanny out front, I should have my fanny out front. I'd like to see everything run under or finish under green, but you know, there's a lot of circumstances that just isn't going to happen. So it's no different than running into a bird on the back stretch at Daytona or having a flat tire or a bearing in your turbo car die at 197. That's part of racing. Know the rules, be prepared, and do the best you can.
Well, there you go. So, see, one man's opinion. I just think, and maybe, and Cliff is under the opinion that, hey, no race should be won under caution. Kenny's under the opinion that, hey, it's okay by him. I'm under the opinion that big races, and we'll throw in Daytona 500, we'll throw in the Indy 500, we'll throw in huge races. But I guess then you have to come up with a committee who's going to select those particular races for that. The rules apply to every other race, but this one. So I can see all sides of it. But I just think a race so important is the Indianapolis 500. And to be a four-time winner, well, if you were to be a four-time winner, and know that most of that was won under caution, maybe it's strategy. We'll give them that, but at the same time, a race run under caution to me is not a green flag, and there's a reason why they call it. I do like the green flag race to checkered type deal that some race series and stuff are doing. Well, we move on down the list here in our list of 34 drivers. We'll try to get through all of these guys as fast as we can. The first of two Sebastians with Dragon Racing. One from France and one from Colombia. We'll start with the one from Colombia, Sebastian Savadora. And again, I do apologize. Some of these names, I'll freely admit that I need help on pronunciation sometimes. With Dragon Racing, another Chevy out there. Chevy's really well represented this year in the Indianapolis 500. I would say they have a very good shot of being the manufacturer win this year, looking at some of the interests that are driving the Chevrolet. But Dragon Racing, Cliff, what are your thoughts on Sebastian number one with Dragon Racing?
Well, you know, we can actually put the two together. I mean, they both have shown signs so far this year that they can race pretty well. But, you know, both of Sebastians, I think, are, again, it's going to be a middle pack to the pack. Again, you know, they've both been to Indy before. But, you know, you never know about those guys. And it is a Chevy because the Chevy's, you know, going to dominate this year. I don't really have any question about that, but Savadera and Bordal, they're both good racers and they can show some signs of it, but you know, again, we're talking road races. Let's get on the big course and see what the boys can do.
Kenny?
Yay, Chevrolet. How can I not like Chevrolet? Chevrolet's got to win. You know, when I hear it for 3 weeks on Speed Talk, it's a terrible thing. I don't know anything about either one of the Sebastians other than that's quite a name. It sounds like he ought to be on The Bachelor or something. And, let's see. One of them's from Colombia and one of them's from France. All right, I'm going to take my same theory that I used to pick basketball teams in March Madness. If I don't recognize them or they don't have a color I like or a city I understand, I don't even root for them.
Well, I'm going to root for the Colombian in that I don't know. Maybe that's because I like Colombian coffee, and France pissed me off a few years ago, so I quit calling them French fries and French toast. I call it Freedom Toast and Freedom Fries. But I'm kidding. You guys get me all off track and all collywobble.
Well, let's go back to that. If you're going to be that way, maybe he'll turn around. The French guy will turn around and go the other way. You know, they are used to retreat. So, but.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I do want to get through
it. Every one of the cars.
Thanks a lot.
You know what? You guys are going to get me in so much trouble with my producer. She every day after the show in our post rating, she gives me in don'ts of things I should have talked about. I shouldn't have went there. You know, you have those thoughts.
Well, she's got an American name. She's okay. She needs to leave this France thing alone.
That's right. Michelle Jones is pretty American. But, you know, you have those thoughts. You're like, well, if I say this, this is going to encounter some sort of conversation later on. Or if I don't say it, I just get to go on about life and not ever have that conversation. So I have a hard time making that distinction and making those choices. Well, we digress. Well, let's get back on track here, guys. What I want to do, and I'm just going to kind of go through this the best that I can. And I what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of group the team name, entry name, whether it be Canassi or Dragon or Ray Hall Letterman or whatever. And we're going to talk about those particular drivers in that particular group so we can get through all of this this hour. So we move on down and we look at the entry with Ryan Briscoe and NTT Data, Honda Racing, Chip Ganassi. And we also have Target Chip Ganassi as well. Obviously, we look at Scott Dixon and the Ferchitti as well. So when we group those Chip Ganassi Racing, whether it's Target Chip Ganassi or just plain old Chip Ganassi Racing, and you look at Ryan Briscoe, Scott Dixon, Dario Franchitti, those names are all right there in the mix there. So let's start with you, Cliff, and feel free to pull any of those out if you want. But as a whole, let's go through those teams as a whole or as a combination.
Well, Ganassi's got that down. I mean, he's got Indy down. I mean, he's got two multi-winners there in Dixon and Franchitti. And Franchitti is another one of those guys that could go for number four. And I think Franchitti has had a bad year. He did the same thing last year and comes out and wins, you know, the Indy 500 last year. So, you know, it's always a possibility this year. But, again, he just, you know, if it wasn't for Sato, he would have still won that thing under green, I have no doubt, you know, because Sato spun out. Unfortunately, they did the yellow. But Briscoe's always a guy that hangs around there. You just never know what he's going to do in Dixon. I mean, just amazing driver. And he goes through periods of greatness and periods of in the middle of the pack. So it'll be interesting to see. But Ganassi's going to be the one to beat.
Kenny?
Does Ganassi have a third car entered somewhere? Or they just have two in the list? I'm looking down the list really fast.
Well,
here.
He's got the NTT Data cars and then Target Chip Ganassi. So he's got Dixon, Franchitti, and Briscoe.
He's got three. All right. Oh, there it is. Right. Good heavens. All you have to do is read the paper, dummy.
I was going to say, I thought you had the same list I do, but maybe not.
Well, I do.
You were talking 33 cars. I was talking 34, so maybe go ahead.
I woke up at like 8:59 this morning, so I'm still trying to function. I'll tell you, the one thing that I got to give kudos to Honda is that motor has been bulletproof for, what, a decade now, and it's made good power. One thing you don't have to worry about with this whole team, anybody running a Honda, is the engine breaking down. I think they've had one failure in like 9 or 10 years, and that was really started from an ignition problem as opposed to a mechanical rod, piston, block, head kind of a problem. So they're going to be there at the end. You know that for a fact, unless you get caught up in an accident or some other freakazoid thing happens. So I don't think you can rule any of these three guys out.
Well, absolutely. And we know for a fact that if there's a caution, Franchitti will be at the front. So, sorry, I couldn't resist. I love Dario. He's a good guy. All right, another guy I really like, and as a fan of the sport, and as a maybe somebody that loves to come to Indy, you cannot help but love and root for Tony Kanaan. What a disappointing performance he had. We talked about this on your show too, guys, but what a disappointing performance Tony Kanaan had. And we really think about it just kind of on a larger scale. You guys remember a few weeks ago we were out at Lucas Oil. We watched Josh Timmerman having a great race, and then it just tuckered out. I mean, just finished. The car just wouldn't work anymore. Tony Kanaan had the same thing happen to him out there in Brazil in his 200th consecutive race start, and that's incredible feat in itself. But how special would that be for TK to finally get a checkered flag here at Indianapolis?
Well, Tony Kanaan, I got to tell you, man, he lives and bleeds, you know, IRL Izod. He always has. He's a great racer, and the guy can do it. He's had some bad luck. You seen it last year when he was up towards the front, and even I think he even led a lap or two, and the fans went nuts. He's definitely a fan favorite. You know, Phil was talking about Hinchcliffe and his attitude, but Tony Kanaan, man, what a great guy, and he's so solid. He makes Manti Te'o look like a sissy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy is just built, and he can race a race car. I would love to see him get his first win this year. That would be awesome.
And he's really – go ahead, Cliff. I'm sorry.
Well, I agree with Cliff on that. Tony Kanaan's one of my favorites. Even though he's a foreign driver, he's done enough on the humanitarian side of racing that you absolutely have no choice but to like the guy. You know, I'm a big fan of his. And besides, he's got a sponsor that probably all three of us ought to enjoy a little bit in Hydroxycut. So we should Yeah, I'd like to see Tony Kanaan pull the win off. That'd be great.
All I know is I love Tony. I think I've told this story before where, I kind of caught him at a bad moment a few years back in qualifying out in Iowa. And long story short, basically he pulled me aside and he gave me, ahead of ESPN and stuff, he gave me about 15, 20 minutes to talk with me. So I appreciate that. So that on that side, I love Tony Kanaan. He lives here in Indianapolis too, at least most of the time, and you know, in a Chevy engine, and he's kind of out there by himself. Each and every year, though, it seems like he's got a different fire suit on or a different car or something. But Tony Kanaan is all about it, and I'm really rooting for him. Outside of the mayor of Hinchtown, Tony would be my next favorite. So we move on down to another Team Penske deal here, and we'll try to group these together, but I know they're kind of spread out. But I think, for the most part, this is Team Penske here. Will Power. will ever get the power that he needs. Cliff?
Will Power, I'm telling you right now, has got some serious issues in his head. He's having, you know, he's been beat up a little bit on the road courses, and he's got to get himself together to make a run for it again. And again, you know, he's another one of those guys, bad luck at Indy, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, he's always a guy you can't count out. But watching him race in the past, I would say middle of the pack.
Kenny?
I'm going to have to disagree with my esteemed colleague. I think Will Power is going to shine this year. Anybody from Toowoomba, Australia, has to go fast because, you know, somebody's going to run over him otherwise. And, you know, he's racing Chevrolet, he's racing Team Penske. He's got all the ingredients it takes to go fast. And maybe, just maybe, after 3 or 4 years of serious disappointment, both trying to win championships and races, that last little intangible to close out a race or close out a championship will finally come his way. Maybe he gets it figured out. You know, sometimes you got to go slow to be fast, and you got to kind of it's like coaching a baseball team. You can't teach them how to win. You can teach them everything else, but they got to learn that extra little how to finish things. And he's, you know, it's time for him to do that. If he doesn't do that this year or next year, I think it's time for him to move on and find another thing to do for a living.
Well, he got his start racing kangaroos. So, you know, those kangaroos are pretty fast. I don't know. That's kind of an inside joke. Because if you guys saw that off-season video series they were running on YouTube, and they just picked different drivers. This is what we do on the off-season. And they were sitting around talking around this table, him, Hinchcliffe, and Joseph Newgarden. And they were talking about their starts and how Hinchcliffe got his start in the kart series and this and that and the other. Will Power says, well, I got my start racing kangaroos. And Hinchcliffe goes, what's a kangaroo? You don't know what a kangaroo is?
Oh, no.
It was hilarious. So that's where that joke came from, guys. I don't think he really got his start racing kangaroos. But that actually came from him as a video. You have to look it up. It's on their off-season things. But it was hilarious. I got my start racing kangaroos. All right, Mr. Will Power, you got our vote. We move on. To no attack, no gain. I'm going to block if I have to and see if I can get by with it. Theatrics, Mr. Tomoko Soto, he'll jump in your arms when he wins. What are you guys' thoughts?
Definitely, he's definitely a prodigy of A.J. Foyt, and he is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. We saw him try to make that great move on the inside of Franchitti last year, almost succeeded. And I'm telling you what, man, this kid has impressed me this year, and he's gonna be at the front of this field. I have no doubt.
Kenny,
I'm sure that AJ's got him, grabbed him by both ears, looking right in the eye, and said, "You'll race the way I tell you to race, and then we'll do fine." And that's exactly what's happened, especially on these road courses the last couple of times. You know, he's been fast in everything he's ever been in, whether it's Japan or over here, but he didn't race with his head, and I think Foyt, who was fast in everything in his entire life, and I still think he's probably rolling around the hospital, buzzing around in a wheelchair trying to race somebody up and down the hallways down there after a surgery. It's got him convinced, it's finally put that last piece of the puzzle together for him and turned him into a winner. Definitely one of the favorites to win Indianapolis this year.
I got a feeling that there's not a hospital maid that could keep him away from Indianapolis this year. So maybe instead of a golf cart, we'll see him in a wheelchair. I don't know. But I think we'll see him out at the track this year. Obviously, A.J. Foyt, one of the greats of all times. And I love your off-the-mic text you sent when Soto won that. You said, a Japanese wins in a Honda for a Texan. All of the same day. That was great. I love it. So no attack, no gain. I'm going to block if I have to. If I can get by with it, I will, Mr. Tomoko Soto. All right, moving on to another prodigy, Graham Rahal. Obviously, of Rahal Letterman Racing, and obviously Rahal's got the name and the ability to get the sponsorships, and Letterman's got the money to pay for everything that's needed. So it makes a good combination between the two. And Graham Rahal, I like. He's a good guy. What are your thoughts, Kenny, Cliff, whoever? Sorry.
I'm trying to remember who's dating somebody that we know here for a little bit, which is really irrelevant. But it's just where my brain went. It's all right. You know, maybe it's because I get on your show, I start thinking of funky things.
I understand.
Interesting. You know, he's had some flashes of brilliance. He's shown that he can actually go fast and be consistent. I think he's still in the growing, maturing stage of his driving career. I mean, he's relatively young yet, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll see. The learning curve is different for every guy. And, you know, he's certainly got the pedigree, and he's got the money, and he's got good teachers behind him and stuff. And, man, he's another one of those guys that I would say top tenner as opposed to a mid-packer. And if things fall just right, he might have a chance of winning the thing.
Cliff?
I have to agree with Kenny. It's all about, again, the maturity, showing patience, and, again, he's shown some brilliance. But he does have an issue with patience. And, you know, of course, he's always going to be a force to be reckoned with if he can drive the race that he's supposed to drive. I agree with Kenny, a top 10. I'm not sure he's going to be strong enough to go. Again, a lot of that's going to depend on his maturity.
Right, absolutely. Well, guys, we're going to take another break. And when we get back, we're going to finish up this. And we still got to talk about Sarah Fisher Racing and DCR, Ed Carpenter, Andretti. So, guys, I can't even talk today. Stay right there with us, guys. We'll be right back. It's opening day right here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update. Brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Speed Talk is a show about racing, both national and local.
We also give our opinions and thoughts on the happenings of the week.
On top of that, we also include interviews from all tiers of racing.
And don't forget the segment Do You Know, which gives you more knowledge than you can handle.
Really, Kenny? More knowledge than we can handle?
Join Tom, Kenny, and me, Cliff, weekly on Speed Talk as we give you the lowdown on the racing world.
Catch us on The Balance and other affiliates weekly.
Don't forget to visit us at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, the racing show you won't soon forget.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update. Brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, let's go racing, my minions. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and we've turned into turn four, the final lap of today's show. Our Indy 500 special Indianapolis 500-mile race coming up at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That's right here in Indianapolis, May 26, 2013. Today is opening day. We've got the veterans on the track, and then we've got a little bit of rookie orientation. We've talked a little bit about those rookies as well. And an exciting time to get out there, especially if you like old cars. And, Kenny, do you like old cars?
Yeah. Do you like old cars?
I love old cars. not just the one I drive.
I'm a big fan of vintage race cars, too. And if you ever get a chance to go to a show where anybody's got a half a dozen or a dozen, or one I was at last year, about 30 of these old rebuilt race cars from anything from the 30s on up, you need to go check it out because that's pretty cool stuff.
Absolutely. And have you guys ever seen the parade of cars or automobile show they have out there every year? Have you guys seen that?
No. Which one are you talking about?
It, No, they have a big car show out there every year. It's there right now. It's the Celebration of Automobiles. Have you seen that, Cliff?
No, I have not.
Well, I'll send you guys some pictures later because I'm going to go check them all out here in just a few minutes right after the show. It is amazing. They have every pace car from every year, first of all. They also have just every different type of classic Indy 500 related type car that you can imagine, and in mint precise, is that a word? Condition. It is incredible, shiny. Oh my goodness! If you like old cars like that, especially the old pace cars, it's amazing. And I don't know the names of all of them, but of course Corvette is in there, hugely represented. Well, we got to move on down the list here, guys, so that we get through everybody. I think we left off with Ray Hall Letterman Racing. So we're now down to DCR Racing, and DCR really kind of has some new and fresh blood when you look at possibly Pippa Mann, and you also look at Beatrice. Now, she did a great job on the road courses, and road courses tend to favor her. She doesn't always seem to do so well here on the oval, as well as Justin Wilson. Now, I like Justin Wilson, big, tall drink of water. I like him. He's fun to talk to. And Justin Wilson is another one of those drivers that just needs that right break at that right time. I don't know that it'll happen this year, but I like Justin Wilson Racing with DCR, obviously in a Honda. But I like him, and he has very good knowledge of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Cliff.
I agree. Justin Wilson is going to be the guy out of that group that's going to do the best. He could very well, again, with the brakes and stuff, he's a top tenner, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Justin Wilson is a pretty good racer. Matter of fact, I chose him a couple times a few years ago when we were doing predictions on Speed Talk, and I'm not even going to say he's going to do good because I was definitely the schlepper out for Justin Wilson, because every time I picked him, one time he didn't even show up at the racetrack. So he'll do all right. You know, he's got that thing figured out a little bit, and you always got to pull for Dale Coyne Racing because they're another one of those teams. I don't want to say underfunded, but not as well funded as some of the others. So anybody who don't have all the big bucks, why you got to root for them anyway.
Well, one thing for sure, if Justin manages to get a checkered flag, the money will come, especially after winning in Indianapolis 500. You know, we were talking about the Celebration of Automobiles, and I'm sorry I missed over this on my talking points. Mario Andretti is actually going to be one of the judges today. So I saw him yesterday out at the track. I was out there walking around. It wasn't open to the public. I was able to get in, but because I climbed the fence. You know, that's what I did, and I took off running, and
poor
fence. Yeah, I mean, they never actually let me in. I just happened to. I do enjoy the perks of my job. It doesn't pay squat, but I enjoy the perks of it. And one of the perks that I get, obviously, is get to go and hang out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm walking through Gasoline Alley, and I hear this beep beep, and I turn around, and it's Mario Andretti in a golf cart. And so I kind of got out of his way, and I was trying to get a picture, and I didn't want to tackle him and say, "Yo, Mario, come here. I want you on the show." But anyway.
Yeah, I bet you just accelerated away, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, he didn't seem to be as thrilled to see me as I was to see him. I don't understand that. But no, Mario Andretti, obviously one of the legends out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Super nice guy, and he will. I'm joking. He will talk to you. You know, he's never been one of those guys to say, you know, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. So Mario Andretti is going to be one of the judges in today's celebration of Automobiles. So we move on down our list here. And we just talked about DCR. Obviously, Justin Wilson, what a great win that would be for DCR. And we talk about – now we move on down to the next one. I like this guy. We heard Phil Wilson talk about him, Ed Carpenter, in the Fuzzy's Vodka. And he is just really, in a lot of ways, a staple here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He was raised here in Indianapolis. He went to college here in Indianapolis. He lives here in Indianapolis. He gives back to the community. He's very active in the community. Obviously, him and Sarah Fisher both had a huge party out there in Speedway last night on Main Street. Yeah, and Sarah Fisher gave the opportunity to go through their shop, and Ed Carpenter was out there on hand. So Pippa Mann was in a dunk tank out there. So a really fun time out there out in Speedway on Main Street last night. But Ed Carpenter, I like a lot, but he just I think he's been right there, and it'd be one of those feel good wins if he could actually get a win out of Indianapolis. But Ed Carpenter, I love what he's doing, and I love his spirit, and I love his enthusiasm. But it goes back to money, unfortunately, and this is a game that you have to pay and pay a lot to play. And he's got Fuzzy, and well, I'm going to be in line for those free samples if they're given out today. I could tell you that much. But no, but he's got Fuzzy. Obviously, that's some name recognition, and that is a great vodka, by the way. But Ed Carpenter Racing Chevrolet, realistically, guys, is there much hope for Ed Carpenter this year?
Well, I've got to tell you, for half a dozen other guys, yeah. You know, the only thing I worry about Ed Carpenter is that's his own race team. And traditionally, a guy who's racing for himself, unless you're like A.J. Foyt, one of those real rare ones, won't take as many chances and won't stick that car in as many sticky situations as you would if somebody else is paying the bill and it's somebody else's car and they got instructions to drive it like you stole it. So things have to go just right for Ed Carpenter to win the thing. You're right, it'd be a great feel-good story. And, you know, it's another guy that can pull off a top 10 fairly easily, and certain things happen on the racetrack, like a big crash that takes out the first nine, might just hand it to you. I mean, we saw Foyt win one that way one time. So you never know, and that's the beauty of watching the race.
Cliff, did you have any other thoughts on
Ed Carpenter? Like you said, man, he's another guy that bleeds IRL racing. I mean, in Indianapolis. And a very nice guy. I've talked with him before. I was kind of bummed when he left Sarah Fisher Racing. But he's one of those guys that just sneaks up out of nowhere and in the top five for a while. And, again, needs the brakes. Definitely a guy that could do it, but I kind of agree with Kenny. I think he's a little apprehensive because it is his own race team.
Well, yeah, you don't want to go wrecking your own car. Well, you don't want your driver to wreck your car either, but, you know, when you got one car. Now, I will tell you, one of those TBAs that I talked about earlier is an Ed Carpenter. So I don't know if he's got a driver maybe he's looking at, and maybe if you guys were to help me go fishing for that, maybe Brian Clausen perhaps. Maybe you guys could give me a little bit of insight. But Ed Carpenter's another entry there, TBA entry is – another Ed Carpenter car. And I don't know if that's a second car of his or if he's actually fishing around for a driver. But Brian Clausen would be a perfect fit for Ed Carpenter. Thoughts?
I agree. Brian Clausen got some talent. He's going to be coming up through the ranks, and it would be nice to see him do it. But, you know, again, you just never know. Somebody pops out of nowhere every year and gets in a car for somebody else. You just don't know who it's going to be. But, yeah, Brian Clausen would be a good fit.
Well, and look at the marriage. When I say marriage, I mean that metaphorically. Brian Clausen, Sarah Fisher Racing. Ed Carpenter, Sarah Fisher Racing. And Sarah Fisher Racing. So so when you look at that chemistry there, Brian Clausen, in my opinion, is a perfect fit for Ed Carpenter Racing. And maybe I'm off base on that, Kenny.
Oh, you're probably right as far as a perfect fit. But I'll drop two names on you that I'd like to see get there. One of them is Michael Schumacher. I don't know why he's never really taken a good run at Indy. I mean, he's ran there tremendously well in those goofy Grand Prix they had for a while. I think he won like four or five times. And another name that, you know, still got a pretty ardent fan base, but he didn't use his head a lot, damn near won in 2002, is Paul Tracy. There's a couple of names that I'd like to see suddenly show up and land in a race car and see how good they could do.
Well, I would like to see Ed Carpenter field another car, or at least get somebody else to drive his own car. I agree with Cliff. Are you either going to be an owner or you're going to be a driver? But we see it happen. We see people do it. Tony does it as well, I believe. But I think and I want to do some research on this, that Sheriff Bishop Hartman Racing has teamed up with Ed Carpenter. So maybe that other car will be part of Sarah Fisher's team. That, again, that brings back the talk about that, Brian Clausen, but Buddy Rice. Awesome. There's been talk about that. Sarah Fisher, Ed Carpenter teaming up again. Buddy Rice. Thoughts, Cliff?
Buddy Rice would be a good fit. I'd like to see him come back and make an attempt. I mean, that was a guy with some good driving skill, just, again, a lot of bad luck and at times, and just never really got a good feel for it, I think. But, yeah, Buddy Rice would be a good name to see pop back up there.
Kenny?
Sure. Anybody named Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy. Come on, race with us, Buddy. Good old American name. All right. Let's go on over to Panther Racing. And Oreo, well, there's rumor that says that basically this could be his last run. Not sure. Obviously, if he does well, it's a good thing. But I think Panther's about ready to drop him like a hot potato, Cliff.
Yeah, he's about done. I totally agree with that. Just I don't know, man. Just reckless at times. And, yeah, I think he's about done.
Yeah, he's past the learning curve. I mean, how many times it's expensive to do this, and you want to do the best you can every time you get out there. And if that's the best they can do as far as – maybe he's driving for free. I don't know. If that's the best driver you can put in a seat, you're not really serious about winning a race.
Well, we move on down the list to someone who we know who is very serious about winning in a race. And as a team owner, Andretti Auto Sports and Marco Andretti. Could there be another Andretti in victory lane again? That's actually Michelle Jones, our producer's favorite driver. So, and I like him too, and I've had an opportunity to interview him. And it really had a very good interview with him out in Iowa as well. I like Marco Andretti, and it would be something special to see another Andretti in victory lane passing on the Andretti legacy. Cliff?
Well, you know what? He's got too hot of a temper. We saw what he did last year. Now, granted, it was 5,000 degrees on the track, and, you know, he had some issues, but he's got his head. His head is his worst enemy. The boy can drive. We've seen him be able to drive, but, again, you know, this is a track that, as Will said, as Kenny said, as you said, you got to have patience. And if you don't have patience, he's not going to go anywhere. He's either going to be at the front, or he's going to be in the middle, or he's out. You just don't know with it.
Kenny, Marco.
Well, I don't know if there's any other places to be, the front or the middle of the out, so you're certainly right about that. Marco,
you got a way to call it, Cliff.
I guess he could be in the rear, too. That's the way he's going.
Go ahead.
Marco has led this thing a few times. You know, he can work his way up to the front. But Cliff's right. You know, I just hadn't used his head real well. Got caught, I think, in a couple of one of those bad timed pit stop deals, and ended up a lap down through no fault of his own a couple years ago. Certainly a car to watch. Definitely a top five car as long as he keeps his head on straight.
Well, the other driver for Andretti, well, not the other, but we're going to get to the big highlight. Seems the best for last of Andretti Autosports. But Carlos Muñoz, Carlos, Cliff, any particular thoughts on him in the Unistar car, Unistral car? Sorry.
Excuse me. You know, again, he's not going to be a factor by any means, but, you know, Michael Andretti just don't put anybody in the car, so the boy's got some talent. So, you know, we'll see.
Kenny?
Don't know a thing about him. Couldn't tell you. I don't even know what a Unistraw is. Is that one of those curly straws that little kids have in their cups that go about 18 different directions before it comes sucking up into their mouth? I have no idea. We'll just have to watch. Sit back and watch this thing.
Kenny, that's the straw that you draw between you and Cliff every week to come on my show.
I use a short one all the time.
Well, the next guy with Andretti Motorsports, I think we all have heard, and we've talked about him, and, you know, deep inside, I'll admit, I probably got a bro crush on the young lad, but James Hinchcliffe, mayor of Hinchtown, I'm rooting for you, buddy. Make it happen. Checkered flag. Let's go, James. Bring it, bring it, bring it. Cliff?
Man, I'm telling you what, I love the guy. He's got some talent, and, man, has he made a difference this year. Just smart. He knows how to pass. He knows how to drive. He's got the momentum going. He's going to be a favorite here, no doubt about it. I would love to see him win it. But, again, you know, there's a lot of luck when it comes to that big old track out there. As long as he can stay clean, he's going to be in the top five.
Kenny, thoughts on
be one of your favorites
down.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be one of your favorites to win the race. I think he's personally, publicly saving open wheel racing in America right now. I don't know that anybody gets as much positive press and has as much fun as James Hinchcliffe. So you want him to do well, but just for the sake of open wheel racing, if nothing else and stuff. And he's racing very well. He's going to be one of the top guys to watch the whole month of May.
Well, at least somebody's winning in the GoDaddy car, right? Well, anyway, all right. So we go back to going down the list here. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Ed Carpenter and his car that he's yet to field, and maybe we'll see who that is. I think, and I do want to do some more research on that, but I'm almost positive he's teamed up with Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing on that particular other car, so it wouldn't all be coming out of his pocket. But we move on down to A.J. Foyt, obviously in another ABC Supply car. Connor Daly, another Indiana boy. We saw him come up from the ranks as well. Just like Brian Clausen, good to see Connor Daly inside of an Indy car with a guy like A.J. Foyt. And I think A.J. Foyt is a good mentor, if nothing else, for Connor Daly. Cliff?
You said it right there, man. Again, A.J. Foyt doesn't pick anybody that doesn't have the potential to be somebody. And he's right in there just down the street from Indy in Noblesville, Indiana. You know, he's got a lot of talent, and I think, eventually he'll be a good driver. But, being a rookie, he's got some learning to do, but he's got the best teacher there is.
Now, what are some of the things? Go ahead, Kenny. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, that's your rookie of the year right there. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, he's won an Indy Lights. He's got good pedigree. I mean, you know, Dad used to race F1 in IndyCar. I think that's a hands-down rookie of the year, and I sure hope this Bogota guy with the Utah car don't have a good day and make me look stupid now. But hands-down, I think he's going to be the rookie of the year.
Well, and I hope to grab him. I've certainly had an opportunity to get to know him here racing in the different series locally and then in the Indy Lights, and I think I'm going to have an opportunity to talk with him today. So I hope to get some sound bites from him. But Connor Daly, you certainly have our route locally here in the best of luck for you. Townsend Bell. Next out there, and we're just kind of got some miscellaneous hit entries here, but Townsend Bell, another Panther Racing car. I'm not excited about Townsend Bell. He doesn't make me warm and fuzzy about this particular race. He's certainly a good driver. I think he knows what to do at Indy, but I think knowing what to do and applying applications are two different things. I think Townsend Bell hasn't shown me anything that he's going to really be a major factor in this year's race, Cliff.
I totally agree. And right now, we talked about it earlier, but Panther Racing is kind of in an array about what's going on. They're going to have to get serious if they want to stay active in Indy. If they don't, they'll be out the next couple of years.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think they agree. I think they understand that. I think that's why they basically told Oreo, hey, you've got to be a top 10 finisher or we're dropping you. And that's just a sign that they're going to start dropping drivers because they're not competitive. And I think that's another sign of it. You nailed it on the head there, Cliff. Kenny?
Yeah, Cliff's right. I mean, he's got some laps around the place, so it's not like he doesn't know how to get around the thing and stuff. But, he's going to have to perform or he'll end up maybe doing a radio broadcast. Who knows?
We'll move down to the next team, down Sam Schmidt. You know, and I'm still shocked when people say this, and I just hear things, you know, I don't really say anything to them. I don't say, hey, you stupid idiot, let me smack you across the face. Do you not know who that guy is? It amazes me. One of the most personable guys in it, you talk about people able to overcome obstacles, Sam Schmidt. And you could know exactly who he is. He's the guy in the wheelchair, the only guy in the wheelchair out there just riding around. And the thing is, and obviously a former IndyCar driver himself, and obviously wrecked out at Disney, and a lot of personal obstacles he's had to overcome from where he was to where he is at now. He's been very successful in the Indy Lights series as well. A lot of people say, who's that guy out there in the wheelchair? Well, that's Sam Schmidt, and Sam Schmidt is an up-and-coming owner, and make no jokes about it. He's here to win it, Cliff.
I totally agree. As a matter of fact, he's in Fort Wayne today to talk about his, what's the word I want to use, foundation for paraplegics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a great, outstanding guy. Again, a great spokesman for the IZOD Indy and Indy Lights. But, you know, I have to disagree with Kenny, and I think, you know, Daly is going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year, but I think the Rookie of the Year is going to be Vadier this year because that man has really impressed me with what he's done. Unfortunately, he's from France and not America, but, you know, the guy knows what he's doing, and unfortunately, you know, he ended his career way earlier than he wanted to, but he got back in it. You got to give a lot of credit to that guy. They'll be a force, you know, anytime.
Kitty,
I'm not rooting for either one of the Sam Schmidt car drivers because they're both from France. I just don't. I like Sam Schmidt. I just don't particularly like the two guys he hired this year.
Well, guys, there's a couple other cars out there. One of them is a DCR car, and we also look at Tagliani. To me, a fall from grace, if you will, not in a bad way. I mean, he's not doing anything bad per se. He's just, you know, a few years back, being right there at the pole, and we just haven't seen much. He just kind of has faded back. Yeah. So I like Tag. I like Alex Tagliani a lot. He's a good driver, in my opinion. I'm really disappointed as a fan what has happened to him the last couple of years. I don't know if it's something in his car, if it's his team owner or what it is, but you look at Tagliani. And then the other guy who's showing his face this year, and a lot of people would say I'd rather you not, and that's Charlie Kimball. And then Pippa Mann. Those are the last three drivers. And guys, we're about out of time here, so just have to keep you guys real short and brief. But Tagliani, Kimball, and Pippa Mann. Cliff, any thoughts on those drivers?
Well, Kimball, I love the guy. He's got some heart. He did pretty decent last year. Tagliani, I think his lack of confidence has hurt him. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But you forgot Joseph Newgarden, buddy.
I did, and I apologize, Joseph. We talked about him indirectly. Sarah Fisher Racing, obviously, Joseph Newgarden, right up there at the pack, and I apologize, Joseph. We'll make it up to you on another show. Go ahead, Kenny.
I got a question for you, and I know we don't have a lot of time. Why would people say, I'd rather you not show up, Charlie Kimball?
I think a lot of people just don't like him. I think a lot of fans don't like him, and that's just my opinion. It's just he rubs me the wrong way.
Then I'm going to root for him. You know, he rubs people the wrong way, and you know, he's a full blown diabetic. He's been in Fort Wayne talking to the children's hospital out here at Lutheran, the children's wing, about diabetes and living with it and stuff. Does a lot of good things that way.
Oh,
I think he did pretty good last year. So, I've never actually met him. We missed the chance to interview him last year by a day. We kind of goofed up our calendar a little bit, but I've never met him. So I guess I got to reserve an opinion on a personal level there. But you got to root for him a little bit just because he's fighting diabetes all the time.
Let me be clear. Let me pull an Obama. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that he's not giving back to the community. It's just one of those things. That may have came off a little bit harsh. I'm not a Charlie Kimball hater. I don't know. I can throw another one in the mix there. I don't like Buddy Rice that much either. So, I mean, you know, I could throw him in the mix too. So, I don't have time to get into it, but he brushed me off one day when I tried to talk to him. So, you know.
There's the root.
See, there's
the
root. Right. The therapy. I get closure. Thanks, guys. I get closure.
But, yeah, you know what? I kind of understand it too, though, Tom. There's a couple guys here locally that we've tried to talk to. That right now I'd rather just poke right in the nose and talk to him again or talk about him. So I know where you're coming from with that.
Well, guys, we're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's opening day. We've ran out of time. I'm going to give you guys each 15 seconds to give me a rant about anything you want to rant about. Cliff, go.
I'll tell you what. Dark Horse, Joseph Newgarden, going for Hinchcliffe.
Kenny.
I'm going to rant about local promoters who canceled the show 12 hours before the race even begins because they're afraid of the weather, and they got a great write-up in the paper, and they had everything ready to go, and then they canceled the show. It makes me mad.
All right, guys. That's got to do it for us. We got to go. Our opening day here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 16th at Georgetown in Indianapolis, guys. We'll see you at Radio Speed Talk, and you can find out all their information on where to follow them at on Twitter and on IndianMay.com, guys. Remember, don't drink and drive. I know you love to drink out there at the track, but don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you throughout the month here, and we'll be bringing you daily updates on our different affiliated stations and teaming up here with the guys from Radio Speed Talk. Guys, have a good day.
Howdy.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.